for. Amen. Do pray for us, if you will, tomorrow. We sure appreciate it as we run down to Virginia to the funeral of our pastor's wife and back. I will be coming all the way back on Tuesday. And so we'll be getting in late Tuesday night. Then I'll be back here on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with you loved ones. Amen. And so, but please pray. You know the roads are dangerous. And I've been out here a long, long time, but that other guy might not have been. That's the guy I watch. I've had him jump the median strip looking at me. You better figure out what you're going to do when they're coming at you at 70 miles an hour. I promise. Amen. All right, but let's get off that highway. Get in this Bible. 2 John verse 2. Again tonight, 2 John verse 2. What a great verse. There's so much to preach here, there ain't no time to preach all of it. Maybe we get home, we'll ask Jesus to preach some of this, and he'll take care of it for us. Amen. You able to stand together? One more time, just for a few minutes. Stand and look at what this verse says here. And I want to go down just a little further tonight, if I can, and add verse 8 and 9 to it. 2 John 2:8 and 9. All right, verse 2, 8 and 9. This is what it says. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Then verse 8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, worked for, earned, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth, that's a constant thing, ETH, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, the reason I'm adding them two verses to you, because I want you to be more careful about verse 2 from verse 8. For the truth's sake, not to make a name for yourself, not to put your name in lights or on the marquee or at the head of the preacher's list, but so that you lose not those things which you have earned or wrought for, worked for, that you stay with it. All right, you listen to me? In a land that the culture is nothing but quit. Come on. We even got a government that pays people to quit. Stay home, we'll pay you, stay home. All right? Now, they've been doing it a long, long time, but they're doubling it up on it now. But that ain't us. We don't quit. Might get tough. May have to crawl. I may even have to have Brother Fenton carry me. But there ain't no place to quit in the life of a Christian. And you must do it for the truth's sake. Let's look at this tonight. Father, what we need, Lord, is you to enhance our longevity. We need, Father, to be making up our mind, God, that it ain't nothing going to make me leave you. So therefore, I'm not going to leave the people of God. I'm not going to leave the church. I'm not going to leave the Bible. I'm not going to leave my prayer closet. I'm not going to leave Christianity. For the truth's sake, I don't want the world, God, to look at us and say he couldn't do it. Talking about you, Lord. That's what Moses said to you. Remember, Lord, when you told him you was going to wipe out Israel and start over with him? And he interceded and said, no, 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 no. The Egyptians might hear about that. God, I'm asking you to help us be ever mindful of the privilege and the honor and the blessing that it is to be saved and serving a thrice holy God. I love you. And I want to go all the way to the end, God, all the way to the end. And our end is the rapture. God, I ain't looking to die. I may be looking to move, but I ain't looking to die. I'm going all the way to the rapture by your help and grace. And so I want these people to do the same. Please bless tonight. One more time, God. One more time this day. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen, my Father. Amen. There's a lot of things in our day and age that causes us to wonder. On days when it's tough, on days when we can't seem to make ends meet, and the different things that happen to us. But we have to make up our mind that this is not necessarily for us. That dawned on me years and years and years ago. I don't know how long ago, but long, long, long time ago. 30, 35 years ago at least. That this wasn't for me. This is for Him. This is not so that I can get by and prosper and all that. No, no. This is so He can be honored and glorified. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all the glory of God, He said. 1 Corinthians 10. And years ago, back yonder, we had I had 16 meetings at one year. I had 16 meetings and 12 of them vaporized because I preached on repentance. And the church where I preached on repentance, by the way, we've now reconciled. He's called. I have meetings for him now again. But in them days, my dear family, it was not nice, okay? And I preached on repentance, and so he called all the other of our meetings, and they agreed with him, and I went to 4 meetings, 12 to 4. Now, 12 ain't much, but 4 is a lot less. Amen. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, it was the will of God, because every truck went by, every news broadcast I heard on the radio, whatever, kept saying New Orleans. So I asked God, I said, God, why you keep showing me New Orleans? What is big deal about New Orleans? And He finally said, you're going there. And I said, to do what? He said, to work the street. So we went down there, a little old church let us hook up behind him on a 20-amp breaker, would you believe it? And they let us hook all up with the water and that 20-amp breaker, and we started the downtown work of New Orleans, working on the street. No buildings, no nothing, pouring down rain, super heat, hot. It didn't matter, never mind. We was out there in that little old park, feeding the homeless and preaching to them. He said, preacher, what are you trying to get me to understand? Listen, gang, I could have went back to driving truck. I could have said, well, you know, I guess this ain't what I'm supposed to be doing or whatever. But God was testing me. Stay with me now. God was testing me to see if I was going to love Him enough to stay with it no matter what. He tested us in West Virginia when we was there. If you read any of Mama's books, you found out how we was tested in West Virginia. I could have went back to driving truck then. I had every reason in the world to throw in the towel except one. I had one reason not to go back driving truck. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I said, but God, these folks don't even read, let alone know what I'm saying to them. Lord, there ain't no money. He said, you don't need money. There's deer and groundhog and squirrels. Lord, we need vegetables. And the folks started bringing their vegetables to church, tithing their gardens. And God, it dawned on me a long time ago that God had done erased my berm. There wasn't even no place for me to pull over. I might not be running at full speed all the time, but I'm still on the road. And that's the point I'm trying to get you to understand tonight. When you were in your yesteryear, you was a quitter. Many of you were quitters in the old days. I want you to realize this truth that I'm trying to get you to understand tonight is a life-changing truth. That's what I want you to know tonight. This thing about Christ is a life-changing truth in your life and mine. Go with me, please, and let me give you the example of a bad deal. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. Let me give you an example, first of all, of a bad deal. And then we're going to go to a good deal, amen, and we'll enjoy the night, and I'll hug your neck, shake your hand, and you go home, and we're going to go to bed and get some rest and head to Virginia tomorrow, okay? God Almighty, my dear family, has examples all through the Bible of those that are in the quit mode and the stop mode and ain't doing this no more mode. And that's how you and I were. I want to emphasize the word were. You changed when you got saved by the grace of God. You became a new creature. God removed quit out of your vocabulary. Now, if you're still using it, you're going against God Almighty. You don't quit. You may go, or you may recamp, redo, but you don't quit. You may not win today's battle, but you've already won the war. So you need to maybe back up into the camp and re-strategize your fight. Come on. And then charge again in the morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this is what God's Bible says. Verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now this is a bad example. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. See that bad example? That crowd right there was me and you before we got saved by the grace of God. And you said, preacher, no, sir, I ain't none of that. You was a lot of that. And in that, dear family, you had a other attribute called quitting. I remember when I was a boy, in my early 20s, that's been a long time ago, back in them days, you quit a job, go back to work this afternoon. Now, in this day and age, I mean, everybody in the world's a hiring. You can get a job anywhere if you want to work now. But there was a time if you quit a job, you was hung up. Back in the old days. There's a time before that you could get a job every day you wanted to if you wanted to work. But I'm telling you, gang, I told one guy one time, I said, why do you keep quitting your job? He said, well, I don't like what he said, and I don't like how it works, and I don't like the hours, and on and on and on. And I said, you're going to get a reputation one of these days, and nobody's going to hire you because they can't trust you. I said, get to your job and stick to it, whether it's thick or thin. Well, he never did. He spent his whole life bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, don't get you a reputation of a quitter. Don't get that. Even though before you were saved by the grace of God, you was in verse 9 and 10. You were noted in them days for your wickedness, your ungodliness. You was against God. In fact, you was an enemy of God. You and God were at war before you were saved. But look at the next verse. Such were some of you. All right, now it changes. He said, preacher, what's a change? Well, change here. You're now washed. Saved by the grace of God. Washed in the blood of Jesus. You're sanctified. Set apart from and set apart to. Don't never skip the two. You're set apart from sin in the world, but you're set apart to God for sacred use. God wants to use you. I tried to tell you how useful you was this morning. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, pardoned from your sins, and by the Spirit of our God. You and I, my dear family, used to be something not worth having around. We used to be a quitter. We used to be one who did what we wanted to do when we wanted to do it. Nobody, no how, no why, were going to tell us what to do. We were rebels to authority. This is, yes, even in New York. Rebels in authority. Rebellion is just not noted for the South, friends. All right, you got that? Everybody that's lost is a rebel. Everybody. You said, preacher, I've always been submissive. Now you're lying to me. You've not always been submissive. You've not been submissive to God every time. You've not been submissive to your mate every time. Submit yourselves one to another, God's Bible declares. You dear young people in here have never been totally submissive to your mom and dad every time. Come on, stay with me now. Mama, you ain't been submissive to your good man every day. And vice versa. He said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying, my dear family, if you didn't get your way, you quit. Quit listening. Quit smiling. Quit going. Quit paying. You and I were quitters before we got saved. Now, that's a bad example. If you continue to quit like you used to do before you were saved, you're going to train your children to be quitters. And when your children become quitters and you try to force them not to quit something, like piano lessons, well, Daddy, you quit this and you quit that, and I don't want to play piano, so I'm going to quit. You ain't got a leg to stand on when you say, son or daughter, you're going to do piano now, no matter whether you like it or not. You ain't got a leg to stand on if you set an example of one who quits. Be careful for those things which ye have wrought. You ladies ought to teach your girls how to be wives and good cooks and good cleaners. Amen. Don't have a hog stock for a bedroom of yourself and teach your daughter how to clean hers. You ain't got a leg to stand on. When they're old enough to walk, they're old enough to pick up their toys. There's a fine baby back there being hugged by Daddy. He's been hugging on that boy ever since I've seen him. He's old enough to pick up a toy. Teach him how to pick up a toy. You don't have to beat him to do it. Train them to do it. Children are trained, family. They're trained by doing and they're trained by watching. Do you know how that little lady back there doing all that knit one, purl two, making a baby blanket? She says she's making a baby blanket. She's got a big thing going on, so that ain't a newborn. Must be a bigger baby. Now listen to me. She just didn't pick that up, grab the needle or whatever she uses and a bunch of whatever that is and start sticking it together, make it look good. Somebody had to train her to do that. Dear family, listen to me. So many of our generation, dear ones, we spend so much time yelling, we never train our kids for nothing. Except in the wrong things. Listen, yelling is for danger. Huh? Our dear sister, that little smiley boy, she got a baby in this arm and smiley in this arm. She sets old smiley down on the ground and takes off like a jet. He does. He's a fast little rascal. And he run down through the yard, see her chasing today, carrying the other baby, would you believe it? Carrying the other baby. She run down there and chased old smiley down, caught him down there, tried to explain to him. He turned around just a grinning like he always does. Back up you come. Yeah, she could have stood on the parking lot and yelled. And you know what he'd have done? Kept on running. Ain't that right? Well, what makes him stop running, preacher? Grabbing him by the arm and say, son, you listen to me. Look in my eyes, boy. Pay attention to me when I'm talking. Come on. You got to train kids. When's the last time God Almighty had you by the arm looking you dead in the eye and say, son, look at me in the eye. Let me show you what you need to do. See, my dear family, we used to be really bad. Come on, get a hold of this. You ain't getting it. You should be running up down the road with one leg. You used to be really bad. You used to brag about how wicked you were. I can, and then you'd name some wicked thing. I did, and then you'd name some wicked thing. You used to work for the night called Friday. You didn't care like about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All you cared about was getting to Friday. Why? Because you had your time. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You was wicked. Ungodly. Vile. Defiled. Sorry. As they say down home, not worth shooting. But all that changed when you got saved. All that changed. You were that. God Almighty's Bible says, you were that. You're not that now. But you've got to be careful. There's an old nature in you that's still wicked. There's the old Don Hardman in me that's still wicked. The point is, he cannot take control. This gospel, this truth of the Word of God is a life-changing truth. I want to show you the good thing. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me show you another piece of good thing now. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Here's what God's Bible says to you and I tonight. He looks over here in verse 9 and says in verse chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Now, Paul is writing to his preacher boy, Timothy, and he's trying to get him to understand some things. And here's a really good verse. Let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was not an old soldier. He was a young soldier. You're a soldier in the army of God Almighty. Now, some of us in here are old soldiers, and we're trying our dead level best to train you youngins. We're not going to be around long. Are you hearing me? We're not going to be around long. We're at the end of our trail. You're at the beginning of yours if Jesus don't come. And what we want you to do is this. Don't let anybody despise your youth, whether it's youth age-wise or whether it's youth spiritual-wise. Whether you've only been saved a couple of years or 5 years or whatever, or you've been just 15 years old yourself. Either way, don't let nobody despise your youth. Maturity, my dear family, comes with spirituality. After you get born again, saved by the grace of God, it's your spirituality that matures you. The more you read your Bible, why are you locking up on me? The more you read your Bible, the more you're faithful to church, the more you obey mom and daddy, for this is right, that you may live long on the earth, the more you do what God Almighty says, the more mature you are. You get an obedient child, my dear family, Bible-wise, mom and daddy-wise, church-wise. He might be 11 years old, but he's acting like a 20-year-old. Why? Because he's maturing spiritually, which is the most important part. And that causes his physical, his mental to mature. And dear family, listen to me. We got enough babies all around us. We need mature people. God's Bible says these words. But be thou an example of the believers. I ain't sure whether Fredonia is going to get this or not, but there's a lot in there. I ain't sure I could preach all of it. Timothy, yeah, Paul, what do you want, preacher? I want you to be an example of the believers. I want you to set the example. You're the young guy here. I understand all of that. I'm going to ship you here and ship you there. I'm going to send you here and send you there. But what I want you to do when you get there, I want you to be the leader of how you're supposed to live. I want you to be the one that's an example of what is good about Christianity. I don't want you to go in there and remember the old days. I want you to go in there and produce new days. I want you to go in there and tell them the truth of the Word of God. I want you to be an example. Now watch what he says here. I want you to do it first of all in word. I want you to be an example of the believer in word. I want you to take word. I want you to take God's word. I want you to take your word. Listen to me. A lot of times you and I talk way too foolish. A lot of times our conversation is not mixed or laced with the Word of God like it's supposed to be. So he's admonishing Timothy to be an example of a believer in word. Secondly, in conversation. I don't want them to catch you being foolish. Don't be immature. Be mature somebody in your lifestyle. Live properly in your lifestyle. Be a man, so to speak, okay? Man up. Man up. And you say, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, listen to me, babies are one thing, but after a while, the baby junk needs to go down the road, and daddy, you need to teach your youngin' how to be a man, even if he ain't but seven. Son, this is what men do. You're going to be a man one day, and this is what men do. Men sacrifice. Men serve. Men work. Men pay the bills on time. Men love and take care of things. They don't just throw them down in the ditch and throw them. Listen, your little old baby throws the stuff down the yard and make him go out there and pick it back up. Park your tricycle right here, son. Like Daddy parks his car, you park your tricycle. Learn how to park your stuff. Learn how to put away your stuff so you can have it tomorrow to play with. Put it back in the toy box, boy. Teach him how to be a man. Hey, fellas, you just throw your tools down the yard when you're done with them, you put them back in the toolbox. Teach that boy that. Put your toys back in the toy box, son. Put your ball glove back up on the dressing drawer, son. Put the ball bat up in the corner over there, boy, out of the way, so your mama won't step on it and roll up and fall. Teach him responsibility. Why? Because they're going to be responsible one of these days. And your daughter-in-law is going to come and say, why didn't you teach that guy anything? And you're going to wish you did. Same way with you girls. Oh, mama, you got to teach that little girl of yours how to be a good, godly lady. And all that pertains to godly ladies. And there's a lot of it. I ain't going into it. That's you women's job, okay? But I'm telling you, you need to teach them girls how to be a lady. Not just a girl. And not just a beauty queen. Oh my soul, how many church girls are beauty queens anymore? Know nothing about spirituality. Be careful that you lose not those things which ye have wrought. This truth is a life-changing truth that Christ gave us in this book. In charity. That's not very charitable, son. You ought not talk to your sister like that. Why are you talking to your brother like that? Now, my mom had a cure for the way I talked. It was dish soap. You need a drink of water? I wasn't too smart. I chugged me a glass of water on top of dish soap. Lord Swilk had nothing on me, buddy. I want you to know I was blowing bubbles for hours. It wasn't funny. It's sickening. But guess what I never did again? Never did I say that again, at least where Mama could hear it. Come on, stay with me now. He said, preacher, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just do it in secret. No, God hears everything. We can't sneak around God like we did, Mama. All right? That don't work. We can't. Listen, when I was a boy growing up, every parent of every one of my friends was my parent when I was there. And if they got a whipping, so did I. And then they'd call my mom and say, guess what I had to do? I had a whipped on today. Him and Steve broke a window, and I whipped them. And then Mama put the test on me. Did you get a whipping today? Yeah. I didn't want two whippings. Because we didn't have none of this love tap stuff when I was a boy. She held the park to kill the flies, and I got the wire. I'm not talking about don't you ever do that again. I'll tell her, don't you ever do that again. If you do, you're going to get worse and you're getting it now. Guess what I didn't do the second time? Be careful that you lose not those things which you have wrought. Use this life-changing truth to help yourself get better. Help yourself get more holy. Help yourself get more faithful. Thank God for all of you that's come back tonight. I praise the Lord that you all came back tonight. Hallelujah. See, that's what I'm trying to get you to understand tonight. Watch what he says over here. Purity and example of a believer in word, conversation, and charity in spirit. Do you do kind of one of these kind of deals before you blow your stack? Make sure ain't nobody around watching. My brother one time was telling me he had a foreman, I guess, a place where he worked, and the foreman came to him and he said, "Ron," he said, "I'm about to go crazy." He said, "I don't know what to do." My brother said, "Go out the back door out there in the parking lot." And he said, "Get out there and just scream for 10 minutes. Just scream." He went out there to scream for about 10 minutes, came back in. He said, "You know, I feel better." You know, a lot of times our spirit's not really right. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of... Listen, when you get old like me, and you don't feel good, and you don't remember the last time you felt good, and you don't remember the last time you didn't hurt, and you don't remember the last time arthritis did not keep you up, and you don't remember the last time you could move all your body because the bones would work, it works on your spirit. And it doesn't take much to get you maybe saying something. I try not to. Honest to God, I try not to. But I'm just like y'all. Everyone says, "You're awful edgy." She pulled her finger at me. "You're awful edgy." I am not edgy. But you let it work on you. You can't be an example of a good spirit if you let that work on you and you don't think before you run your mouth. Boy, how many times have we bit our foots off? We should have shut up, but we just kept biting our foot off. Our spirit. We need to be an example of a good spirit. I remember when I was laying in that cancer ward down Mississippi. Goofy-headed, chemo-brained, and how come you're in such a good mood, preacher? Because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. If I come out of this bed, I'll go home with Mama or I'll go home with Jesus. And they look at me like I was out of my mind, because you're supposed to be pitching a fit or you're supposed to be crying in pity or whatever. And I was laying there with my gospel tracts and my nightgown, you know, that old one-sided nightgown they make you wear. Oh, I hate them things. One-sided nightgown and cowboy boots going down the hall. I mean, that's a ridiculous sight. I finally put them sissy socks on you, them ankle socks. I wear socks to the knees, men. Anyhow. I had to guard my spirit. I didn't feel good. I didn't want them in there every 2 hours waking me up asking me if I was sleeping. I spent 2 or 3 days not sleeping. And they come in and they say, "Ain't you asleep?" I'd see them peeking the door, you know, 2 in the morning. I said, "Come on in. Ain't you asleep?" "No. I can't sleep. I don't feel good. I can't sleep." "Well, how come you ain't griping and carrying on and pitching a fit?" I said, "What good would that do? I still couldn't sleep. That don't put me to sleep. It don't help you if you come in the room and I chew your ear off. That won't help you any. You've got enough trouble without having old crab head on you. Them other guys in the other rooms are crab heads. I ain't a crab head. I belong to Christ and I'm doing my dead level best to just keep a good spirit." They got so they was bringing me other nurses from the other side of the ward. "Go down there and talk to that guy. Boy, he'll help you. Go down there and talk to him. He's got a paper in his nightgown pocket he'll give you." Be an example of a believer in spirit. Timothy, life ain't going to be easy. There's going to be days you're going to get angry, but sin not if you do. See, we can get angry. Our Savior got angry. Boy, he put a whip together, son, and I mean they were scattering like cockroaches with the light on. He was a whooping on that crowd, but he never sinned. And you and I can be angry and sin not. But we've got to control ourselves. It's part of the Holy Ghost fruit called temperance, to control yourself. "Preacher, I'm losing it." No, you're not. "Child of God, I'm talking to you." No, you're not. You're not losing it. You feel frustrated. You feel like pounding somebody, but you're not losing it. Because you have an outlet. It's called prayer. God in heaven, my spirit's going crazy. So I know, I've been watching. God, I need some help down here before I kick the doors down. Don't kick the doors down, son, because then you got to go to Home Depot and buy new doors. And you ain't got enough money to just calm down, shut down, shut up, pray, talk to me, look at me, go away, read your Bible, hang on. It'll be better come morning. I've been on it all day. God, I still can't fix it. Let me give you a frustration happening. Ready? You ready? I'm about to quit. Listen to me. Earl Hughes had a Geo, bought the first Geo Chevrolet ever made. Three-cylinder Geo. Put 600-some thousand miles on that thing. Bought a brand new, kept Marvel mystery oil on that thing. Run 600-some thousand miles. Ran like a sewing machine. I mean, not a miss, not a problem. 50, 60 miles on a gallon. I mean, that jerker was some kind of good. We told him to take it to Detroit. They put it in a museum up there. He said, I'll never get a car that good again. People give him Cadillacs and Lincolns and all kinds of stuff. He'd drive them back home to Georgia and give them away to somebody. He loved that Geo. Great big old tall lanky Earl Hughes. Put the seat all the way back so he could sit behind the steering wheel. Yeah. He pulled into Fisherville one time. He said, Brother Don, he said, I need oil to change that car. I said, ain't no problem here. I'll do it. I wish I'd have took him to the garage. I pulled him out the bus garage, you know, and I look up there and there's a little dinky dining theater about that big, you know, and I said, what kind of oil you get? So I went to town and bought all that and got it up there, you know, and I drained the oil out. I figured this is a piece of cake. Got me a little wrench, you know, to take the oil filter off, and it wouldn't budge. And so, you know, old hillbilly style, you know, you run a screwdriver through it, you know, and leverage it off, you know, and it wouldn't budge. It just ripped off right to the threads. I had nothing left but a bunch of shrapnel sticking out about like that. I missed the whole morning service. Errol come out. He said, Brother Don, he said, I believe you can do her, son, and went back to the church. I missed dinner. I missed the afternoon prayer time. He come out. He looked down in there by the wheel well. He said, Brother Don, I believe you can do her, son. I really do believe you can handle this. I'm fixing to go buy dynamite and blow that car into eternity. I'm hot, I'm dirty, I'm hungry. I done missed church. That may be matter than anything. I got me a bunch of rags. And I put my hand on the bottom with all that shrap, all that shredded filter. And I said, Dear God, please. It rolled out of there like it wasn't even hooked up. I said, why didn't you do that 7 hours ago, Lord? I put the new filter on, filled it up with oil, checked it all out. It didn't leak. I gave Errol the keys. He washed it, went to church. He got up in the pulpit. He said, by the way, any of you need an oil change? Brother Hardman right there is the best oil change man I've ever seen in my life. He spent 10 minutes putting me in a ditch. I had no good spirit. Come on, being honest, I didn't have a good spirit. I'm thinking, shut up, Earl. I don't need the whole world to know I'm an idiot. Then the Holy Ghost said, I hope nobody sees you being that way. You know what I thought to myself? Nobody might, but God did. Are y'all still with me? Come on, it ain't even 7 o'clock. Hang tight. Are you and I an example? Be careful you lose not those things which you've wrought. This life-changing truth that the gospel of Jesus Christ, our salvation is, this truth that allows us to have an example in faith, an example in purity, an example in reading, an example in exhortation, an example in doctrine, an example in meditation. How many of you meditate on the things of God? You know, he said to Timothy in verse 16, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine and continue in them, For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You're not only going to award yourself, Timothy, but you're going to help those that know you. See, my dear family, every one of us have a reputation. Go to Jude and we're done. Jude and we're done. Look with me, please, in the book of Jude. I'm talking about a good example. I'm talking about a good saint of God. I'm talking about who you are now that you're saved by the grace of God. Now, don't sit there and tell me that you're not, because you are, because God changed you into this, and you just need to live what you are. Come on, you need to live what you are. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Are you heaven bound when this is all finished? Are you going to try to take somebody with you? Then what God wants you to understand is this truth here, my dear family, is a life-changing truth. And it just don't start with salvation. That's where it begins, and then it gets going on and on. And it continually, all the time, changing us to the better. Are we not to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? All right? Are you looking like Jesus right now? In your heart and mind. Are you looking like Jesus right now in your soul? Are you looking like Jesus right now in your thought patterns? Are you looking like Jesus right now in the way you treat others? See, my dear family, when we've been conformed to the image of Christ, the Holy Ghost of God that lives inside of us is an ongoing, constantly growing us in the knowledge of Jesus. Constantly doing it. In Jude verse 20, God's Bible says this, "But ye beloved..." Is that you? Come on, you saved tonight? Now, we're trying to have a meeting, right? How much meeting do you want? We went 2 weeks. We're going 2 weeks. You said, "Preacher, why did we do that?" Well, let me ask you this, love. Did you gain any ground last week? Well, then how much more could you gain this week? Did you make up your mind on anything last week? Did the Holy Ghost teach you anything last week? Did you change anything last week? Think we could change anything else? Have we reached the max now? Have we reached the limit now? Are we done growing now? Are we done learning now? Are we done changing now? No. So we go on. Amen. We go on. He said, "Preach, what are you saying? But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Preacher, what kind of praying is that? Agreeing, obeying the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. That's what praying in the Holy Ghost is. Lord, thy will, not mine. Remember this morning? Thy will, God, not mine. God, what do you want today? What do you want to do today? Listen, my love. God Almighty is going to drive to Virginia tomorrow, and he's going to take me and Mama with him. And then come Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, they're going to have the memorial service for Miss Owen. It'll last a couple hours. As soon as that couple hours is finished, my dear family, we're changing clothes, getting back in the truck, and God's going to bring us back. And I'm going to be looking at your smiling faces come Wednesday night again. He said, "Person, what are you saying to me?" I'm saying, my dear family, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm already asking God to clear the road down. Don't jam it up with truck wrecks and car wrecks. Don't jam it up with state troopers and construction. Dear God, help me get down there on time. It's already a 7.5 hour ride. Already. That's drive time. That ain't trip time. That's drive time. It's a big day. He said, "Preacher, I couldn't do that." That's what me and God do. That's what me and God do. I said, "God, we're going." He said, "I know. It's about 9 hours away." I said, "I'm a riding." Me and her ride with God. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Preacher, how can I build my faith praying in the Holy Ghost? Did he ever make a mistake? Did you ever go with God and find out what he did and enjoyed the trip? That's praying in the Holy Ghost, and that's building up your faith. Lord, you know what? I prayed that your will would be done. Now, listen to me closely. I'm fixing to close up, I think. Some of you struggle with your faith in God. I don't know who you are, but some of you do. Your problem is because God didn't do what you wanted, now you're worried and bothered. My faith is in the will of God. My God never makes a mistake. My God will never abuse me. My God will never lead me astray. My God will never put me in danger that He can't take care of. My God is always on my side because I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. And so when I pray and ask the Holy Ghost of God to guide and direct me into the will of the Lord, He says, all right, here's what we're going to do first. You start glorifying Jesus, magnifying Jesus, praising the Lord, and we're going to go through this thing together, me and you. You don't know what tomorrow holds, I do. You don't know what the next minute holds, I do. You don't know what's down the road right there, I do. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost and believe this is the will of the Lord, in that will is my faith. Preacher, when you were sick, did you believe God would heal you? I believe God's will be done. It was His will to heal me. It was His will to heal me the second time. I'm just trying to get you to understand something, gang. When you put your faith in the will of God and you completely trust God, praying in the Holy Ghost of God, your worry button gets disconnected. You don't get punched no more. You say, dear God, I know You're going to take care of this. I know this is in Your hands. I know You're watching tomorrow. I know it'll be all right. All I got to do is follow along, God. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ride the bus and you drive. Amen. Faith in the will of God. Look at your Bible, please. Keep yourselves in the love of God. God, I don't feel very loving today. Well, love me. Is there anything I've ever done to harm you? No. Is there anything I've ever done to make you mad? No. Then keep loving me. Yeah, but God, I'm talking about so-and-so. I don't feel like I love so-and-so no more. Uh-huh. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Love me. But God, You didn't hear me. I said I don't love so-and-so right now as much as I'm supposed to, and I don't know how to fix all of that. He said, yeah, I just told you how to fix it. Love me. See, when you and I get in love with God, all of a sudden that brother or sister looks better. All of a sudden love covereth a multitude of sins. All of a sudden they don't look like a scallywag no more. You know, that's my little sister. That's my brother. But it has to come from here. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Does God love them? Do you have God? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life and to some have compassion, making a difference, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even a garment spotted by the flesh. Now watch. The 24th verse of Jude. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. I'm talking about a life-changing truth. Be careful that you lose not those things for which you have wrought. Church of the living God, you listen to me. I happen to be your friend. Y'all hear me? I am your friend. And I'm telling you flat out. Are you listening, looking? Look at me. All of you, look at me. There's no room for used-to-be's. I get them all over the country. Brother Don, I used to be. I used to do this and I used to do that and I used to go there and, but we used to have meetings and we used to have all-night prayer meetings, preacher. We used to have singings. Used to, and the used-to's. There's no room for used-to's. No. Not in the work of God. Look what He says right there. Now, in Him is able to keep you from falling. I tell them all the time, I say, well, listen, nobody fit in your position but you. We've got some fine young singers in this church. Ain't that right? They're good singing. Good singing. Good hand of God's on them, they sing. Amen. I noticed something about them, though. I noticed something strange about that youth group. Y'all notice anything strange about him? Huh? One guy, right. One guy and handful of girls. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But that youth group would not be the same if he wasn't there. See, nobody fits in that center spot but him. Nobody fits in your spot but you. It's made for you. That's why you're here. That's why you're a member of this church. That's why you're part of this great work. Because God put you in His place where He wanted you to be. I done told you all this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. He puts people where He wants them to be. So you can maybe get a guy this big and try to put him in a hole this size and it won't look quite right. This guy's got to stay here. This guy has his spot over here somewhere that's this wide. Anybody listening? He's able to keep this life-changing truth that I'm doing a poor job of getting across. I'm confused, poor. I'm just trying to help you, son. Listen to me. Listen to me. Good examples in that Bible all over every place. Bad ones too, my friend. But here in the book of Jude, unto him was able to keep him from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Faultless? God, I'm human. I said you're faultless. Lord in heaven, you don't understand what I've done. He said, yeah, I do. I watched you. But I made a way. Confess and forsake it, you'll find mercy. One drop of my blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You can come to me and say, listen, God, I am sorry. And by your help and grace, I'll not do that no more. And God in heaven, I'm not making an excuse. I just didn't do right and I'm coming to get myself re-upped. Amen. You know what God does? God wipes it away with the blood of Jesus Christ, sets us free from the trouble, and He says, now, let's keep changing your life for the better. A life-changing truth. For the truth's sake. Come on, baby. Which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. A life-changing truth that we, God's people, can be careful to lose not those things which we've earned and worked for in our Christian walk. We can be an example of a believer in many areas of our lives. We can be. And we can be without fault. Now that's a tough one. We can be without fault. We can be in the presence of God and God has no reason to put His finger on us. Preacher, that's a pretty tall order. He looked at a man named Abraham one day and he said, be thou perfect. He looked at a group of people at the end of a chapter in Matthew and said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let's not take the truth and say it won't work. Let's take the truth and say, you know, this is a life-changing truth. It saved me and it changed my life from going to hell to going to heaven. But that's the destination. But every day I'm changing. Every day I'm conforming into the image of Jesus Christ. Every day the Holy Ghost of God's training me and teaching me on how to do right. All I got to do is understand what I'm doing. What am I doing? I'm glorifying God. And I'm being an example to you. I'm going to glorify God. And I'm going to put in your mind and heart that I'm a man of God. Human, yes. But a man of God. So I'm going to live in such a way that this one says, praise God, Brother Hardman's coming. Instead of, oh no, Brother Hardman's coming. Are you hearing me? This life-changing truth makes us better day by day by day. Sing, Mama.
Man was sitting
just obey the Lord, church.
There.
Just do what God tells you to do. That's all I ask.
He cried to Jesus for mercy that day.
That's it.
Jesus,
come on.
Jesus commanded
a life-changing
and
truth.
Gave him his sight as he
be careful that you lose not those
Jesus,
things that you have wrought.
I'm sure he
don't
cried.
Throw away your progress.
Jesus passed
start where you're at right now and continue
my
to grow.
Way,
use this
and
truth
he made me
to keep going.
That
pray it in the Holy Ghost.
Just a sinner
controlling yourself.
I, and when Jesus
loving one another.
Passed by,
standing for the truth.
What a
in a world full of error.
In my life, when Jesus passed by.
Life changing.
And just like that blind man, I wandered alone in the darkness of sin.
But now,
I was always alone.
You and I used to be.
But one day I met him and he made things right.
We're the children of the King.
And oh, what a difference when
Christ
Jesus passed by. Jesus
changing.
Passed by my way and he made me whole. That day, just a sinner was I, and when Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life, when Jesus passed by, Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole. That day, just a sinner was I, and when Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life, when Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life, when Jesus passed by.
Let me make one more statement. When he comes to get us, are you going?
Amen.
When he comes to get us, there ought not be much of a change at all. And because of our salvation, we have an opportunity to get more like him every minute of our day. So when he does come, it won't be so drastic. Because we'll be a whole lot like him when we see him.
Father, thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Lord, I thank you for those that came forward tonight. We pray, Lord, for each of the decisions that were made. I don't know what they are or were. You do. So, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to work in each and every heart. Lord, I pray for those decisions that were made right there in their seats. Father, continue to work in our hearts and souls. And, Lord, continue to grow us. And continue, Lord, to help us to build our lives in accordance with your word. Help us, Father, to have that mind of Christ every single day of our life. Help us, Lord, to always conform to your word and to your will and to your ways. Lord, I pray that we would just be obedient to you and just trust and obey the things that you have for us. Lord, keep us in that book. Keep us on our knees. Keep us in church. Lord, we pray tonight. I pray tonight, Lord, there'd be no quitters in this room. Nobody.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that we'd all just keep coming to church, keep reading our Bibles, keep praying, keep giving, just keep living for you. Lord, we know there's no room in this world for quitters. There's too many already. We don't need any more. And so, Lord, I pray that you bless us and be with us. Be with the Hardmans as they travel tomorrow and Tuesday. Lord, just give them that traveling mercy that they need down the road and back. Help them, Lord, to be a blessing to his pastor and to the people of that church. And, Lord, we just pray that you would, that your perfect will would be done in all of our lives. Every single moment of our day, Lord, I pray that we would walk in your will. And so, Lord, help us and just be with us tonight as we go our separate ways. Lord, we love you tonight and we thank you for everything. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Good, brother.